This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
You're tuning into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Welcome to the Blacklist AfterBuzz After Show. After Show. That is Lenny Kravitz talking about Always on the Run. Hashtag Run Lizzie Run.
Hashtag Run Lizzie Run.
Lizzie's on the run carrying a rotavirus.
Yes.
Apparently. Tailor made for her because her mama was a spy.
Is it tailor made for her or tailor made for Senator Hawkins?
I don't know. I feel like those tailor made for her.
Hawkins was the one who was infected.
I know, but she's got the weird... Oh, that's true. But she's got the... Wait, hold on.
What are you talking about?
Hawkins was infected. Why is... Oh, I'm sorry. Tailor made for Hawkins. You're right. But Lizzie's the one who they're going to pin it on.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and that's why she's on the run. And
that's why she's on the run.
Because... This is because her mama was a spy.
Yes.
And they're going to say she's a sympathetic Russian bad lady because her mama was a Russian bad lady. And so we're going to get her.
Yes.
Got it. But I'm always on the run.
Always on the run.
All right. Welcome to the Blacklist. I said that already. Julie, I'm joined by the lovely Julia Carely. How are you, Julia?
I'm good. How are you, Brad?
I'm wonderful. I was slightly under the weather last week.
Sorry, we were mad at you last week.
It's all right. I was actually working, and I was under the weather, and both happened. But I'm back now, feeling okay. But I'm
You're looking good.
Well, thank you. You look lovely too. Who's not here are our friends Dan of Velasquez or Joe Sanfilippo aren't here. Joe's rarely here.
Yeah,
but you know, we got him. I made him come under duress last week.
Yes,
he was. I'm sure wasn't happy about it. But we're here, and
we were a little crazy.
Yes, I'm sure you were. We're talking Blacklist. So I think we're finally rounding third and getting some goddamn answers.
So we have the finale next week.
Yes, and it sounds like from the previews. All will be revealed.
No,
Lizzie remembers everything.
I didn't see the previous.
Oh, okay, it's something like that.
Lizzie remembers everything?
She remembers everything.
Everything?
Yeah. And then I think she says that, and she goes, I remember everything. Something like that. So that's exciting. I think that if we could just round third and get to some answers, I think we'll all be much happier.
Oh, please, God, give me some answers.
But you know, not that we're unhappy with the Blacklist because it is a very fun show. So we have our Blacklister this time. My man's name is that of which I am having a hard time pronouncing.
Well, because everyone has their own accent on it.
Okay, what do you call it?
Karakut.
Kaput. Karakut.
Oh, that's a good one, Lemieux.
That's a good one, Lemieux. Karakut. Karakut.
You're the worst.
All right, I can't even pronounce our YouTube subscribers' names. So, well, Schmeagle 125. Thanks for listening. Anyway, Karakut. He's the guy who got smuggled in
by Quan Zhang I'm saying that.
By Quan Zhang last week.
Last week, yes.
Yes, our Asian homie last week, who's the super smuggler, smuggled him in to do this super secret job.
Yes.
And we open with a terrifying scene of, you know, You know, that's pretty, I mean, we cover Hannibal, watch a lot of Hannibal on NBC, but that was pretty graphic.
That was pretty gross.
I mean, it was already gross. I mean, you know, bleeding from the eyes is already pretty gross. But then the big, like, the big mucusy, white, like, white pussy.
Spidery
thing on the girl piece, like, to open the show.
Love it. I love that stuff. That's my favorite kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's like, oh, now we're starting.
No, here we go.
I want to say just about the episode in general. I think, the episode was very well directed, expertly directed, this episode. I thought it was really well done. I liked the cinematography was great. I think all the way they set the shots were great. I liked the way they had a lot of dense information to get into this episode. Ooh. I mean, really, a lot. I mean, it's just densely plotted episode. I think they did a really good job of sort of getting all that information out and still making it exciting and still giving us some action. This was, you know, at times, you know, we're sometimes tough on a Blacklist, but it's a really difficult show to execute when you think about all they have to get done, you know, from moment to moment. And I just want to give the team shout outs. I give some shots too, but shout outs for doing a great job on,
absolutely,
this episode.
I agree.
Do you have general impressions or thoughts on this episode?
This was a thick episode.
Yes.
Woo. Sure. But I actually really enjoyed it. I thought it was action packed, kept me on my toes.
Yep.
Fun twist at the end. I do love a good twist.
Sure.
Good episode all around.
Good. Yeah, I agree. So, lots of things I want to address. Let's just get through the plot, and then I want to kind of touch base on some house, you know, housekeeping and cleaning and some character stuff.
Okay.
So as best we can tell here, so Kirkut's in here to do a job. He comes in. We see him, you know, testing.
Yes.
The virus out on an unknown kid. Right?
An unknown kid.
At the time.
On college campus somewhere.
College campus, which we later find out is the illegitimate son
of Senator Hawkins.
Senator Hawkins, who is the intended target.
Yes.
And so that was basically a test and a way to sort of find, it's a DNA match.
Yeah,
test.
He needed a genetic match to see if the virus would actually take.
And it took.
Which it did.
Took like a mug. Took like an MF-er.
Yeah, I'd say.
So that happened. So then let's deal with sort of like the Blacklister plot itself.
Okay.
So then we find out. Go ahead.
So we know the FBI knows that Karakurt is in the country to attack an American defense installation.
Right.
That's all they know going in, correct?
That's all they know. Yes, and also Red is very, very knows that the Cabal is trying to have some sort of a impact, you know, very event, impact level event, you know, something that's gonna, that, whether it's a terrorist explosion, whether it's some sort of attack on American soil, maybe a false flag situation, maybe not, but he knows that. So,
In order to start World War III,
which is what they want ultimately.
Yes.
So.
Which sounds fun.
Hey.
Who doesn't want that?
Who doesn't want World War III?
Yeah. Good idea. Good plan. Love it.
That's a good plan. Sounds like Ultron's plan, actually, in Age of Ultron. Anyway.
Love that, by the way.
Yeah, that's good.
And I did want Ultron to wear a swanky hat.
Yeah, that's right. Well, this is tie-in because Ultron was red.
Yes.
Yeah. I did want Ultron to wear a swanky hat.
I wanted him to wear a swanky hat.
Anyway, we'll talk about a little Ultron later.
Pen too.
What?
He didn't stab anyone with a pen, though.
He did not
stab
anyone
with a
pen.
No, he did not. Fortunately. Sorry, back to Blacklist.
We digress. Age of Ultron, see it. So they're kind of like thrown off because there was a big sort of terrorist level explosion.
Yes.
At the beginning, which seems to set off a turn of events.
At the Office of Russian and European Analysis.
Right.
What did they call it? ORIA.
Yes.
Took me a while to figure out. I was like, what are they saying? And then I pieced that together.
Acronyms, ORIA. Baby. Gotta have all the acronyms in place. So that explosion was thought to be the event, but
of course
wasn't the thing.
No, no.
That was the thing that was gonna get all the people who died in there. To have a memorial where
all the big heavy hitters are going to show up.
All the big heavy hitters show up and be targets.
Yes.
So especially Senator Hawkins. So we figure that part out. Then they begin to further uncover that this is not the one of the people involved in this is a super biological tech guy. a non-explosives guy, when they went and raided his apartment, they found all this stuff, weaponry stuff to make bioweapons. They found the notebook with all this crazy bio stuff. Wrestler says, you know, explosives is way below this guy's pay grade. Lizzie recognizes this stuff from Quantico. They then bust in and take this to Red and to Cooper and say, we have something bigger on our hands, mm-hmm. right? From there, Red takes it to his girl, who's a character. We'll get back to later, because I want to touch on these characters. Who was wonderful, who then deciphers that this is not... They're making a roto virus, which is a virus for one person. Not a WMD, but a WID. A weapon individual. Of individual destruction.
Yes.
Sounds like...
Kind of cool.
Sounds like half the women I date. Hey-o! Okay, I got nothing. I know. I got nothing. Come on. No red shot, Lemieux. Come on. All right. Anyway, so a weapon of individual destruction.
Yep. So we got on our hands. Do those exist? That's cool.
Yeah, that is cool. I mean, I like the way she, like, you know, again with the acronym, she just busted out. It's a WID. Mm. I was like, oh.
Ooh.
And then also rotavirus is also a cool thing.
Yeah, that's a cool thing, too.
So, well, I mean, not for Senator Hawkins,
but no,
or his son. So then after that, they figure out what it is, and they have to sort of figure out what the target is. They find Senator Hawkins. They found out the poor college kid had died, and how he died. They traced him back to his mother. His mother had then admitted that she had an affair. Was it an affair?
Yeah,
an affair with
Senator Hawkins.
So,
and that's his illegitimate child.
It makes him the target. So they get there. And my man in the ponytail, Karakut, is making his
move. It's very like Sistine Chapel. So close.
Making his move. Trying to get there.
So close.
Lizzie Keene is running. And she does. I mean, very reminiscent of In the Line of Fire, where it's old Clint Eastwood movie. I say old because it's from 93, which I guess I'd make it old. Where he saves, does a dive in front of the president, which is, you know. She takes a bullet. It was that move. And
yes, it was.
She does, and she saves him and ushers him into the car, and we think everything's fine.
Everything's fine and dandy.
And he says the final words, like, call my wife and tell her I'm okay. I'm like, no! No!
How did that happen?
Exactly. I was like, oh, Lizzie, you made it. He's like, good, tell my wife and tell him. But he's loosing his tie.
Yeah.
Like,
little tickle in my throat.
Little tickle in his throat.
Little itchy eye.
tell my wife she's okay. And then it's like full mucus and eye bleeding. So
gross.
That poor guy, he didn't make it.
Nope.
So then Red, who's kind of piecing this thing together the whole time, mm-hmm. sort of realizes that, you know, piece together that this is not about anyone else. This is about an opportunity for them to take out Lizzie,
mm-hmm.
right? And so he tells her on the phone, got to get out of there. And she does.
She does.
She does.
Well, as they're starting to come for her.
Yep. And who's leading the Tom Conley's leading the charge.
AG.
That son of a bee.
That guy.
You know. So he's leading the charge with some agents. She gets out of there. She's on the run. And... we have ourselves a season finale.
Yes, we do.
So, I just want to get through all that because it seemed a little dense. I'm going to talk about it all, but I want to just set the tone there because it was just dense. So that's that. So let's get into, the character stuff with Tom and Lizzie. And I want to get into the Cooper stuff. I want to get into Red and sort of his things. And more importantly, I want to get into and talk about these other, supporting characters that populate the world of the Blacklist, because for me, like, that's where the show really sings, right? Like, the show is really, I mean, it's Red and it's great. And you have the task force, which is the task force, the post office, I'm going to call it. They're doing the thing, but it's this other world. It's the Mr. Kaplan's, and
it always has been for me.
It's all these other people. And so we saw our guy, my man, the torture cat.
Brimley?
Yes.
Brimley with the oxygen tank.
Who doesn't look like he can do much, but apparently he packs a wallop.
Oh, yes.
And I don't know how Brimley got that guy upside down in the duct tape. And I want to say, too, like, kudos for the Blacklist for making torture kind of funny.
Yeah.
like this is horrible torture he's doing to this guy. And Red is, like, sipping a cup of tea,
yeah.
And this guy's screaming in the background, ah! Then, you know, my man comes out with the oxygen tank, like, this guy, he's not going to talk, you know? Keep working at him. All right, give me some dry ice and a five-foot rubber hose.
And like, Dembe's face.
It's like, what? So Lord knows what he's going to do with the five-foot hose and dry ice.
So gross.
But apparently it worked because he comes out and he says...
Sang like a little birdie.
He sang like a birdie and he says the line, which is not for prime time either. He says, that guy was tighter than my first wife. What does that line come from? On primetime television. Oh, well, you're right. I got it out of him. Here's the number. And then the guy's hanging in the background, and he's a mess back there. I mean, if you look, and I was like, ha, 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 torture. Man. So I'm like, the Blacklist does it again. Right? I mean, I don't know. So, but I'm saying all that to say, I love these guys.
I love these guys. They add such color to this world.
Yeah.
And, these character actors that they're getting are just killing it.
Yes.
Every time.
Every time. And I want to see more of these people. And then speaking of more of the character actors, I love when they went, you know, I love my man, the CIA guys. I loved all of them. I love the black CIA guy. He was kind of cool.
He was kind of cool. Like, I loved, we were just talking about it before we went on, Kilpatrick.
Kill frickin' Patrick.
He was very cigar and I love it when a plan comes together. Yes, it's the first thing I thought. Like his tan skin and his white hair and his like renegade outfit.
Like, I want to know everything about that guy. I want a show about Kilpatrick and his team doing whatever the hell they're doing.
But they're dead now.
I know. Damn it. But I love those guys. I loved my man, the black guy. He looked like he like has some like he's ready for action.
Oh yeah.
Like he had some life in his eyes and looked like he's ready to act and get stuff done. And I was like, oh, this guy, what's he doing? And then he didn't make it either, did he?
No.
Damn. And so,
he was going to look into everything for Lizzie too.
He
was the answer.
Damn it.
He was the key.
Like that.
I don't know, but I'll look into it. I don't know. But I'll look into that.
I'd watch a web series about that CIA black side of that base. I want a whole web series about those guys if they weren't dead.
If they weren't dead.
Anyway, so I thought that was very cool. And I like the more they bring in those guys, like I wish that my guy, Chris Christopherson, the guy with the beard on Red's team.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I wish that he had some lines and some personality. We know more about him.
A little bit more.
Because he's a character too. And I want to know sort of more about that guy too. But anyway, so all that was cool. That all happened. But of course, let's talk that out. So, you know, obviously he came in, he won the info, the brother was like, you know, he's, you know, maybe an alcoholic, maybe some other things, but maybe overworked, unappreciated, but he's a good guy. That's all a bunch of character expos that we needed. That was great. He's going to look into Lizzie's mom, of course.
The myth, the legend. What is it? Katerina Rostova?
Katerina Rostova, which was, also excellent exposition. We found out, not only is, you know, she's not some run-of-the-mill guard variety KGB spy, she's like a legend.
The girl.
Yeah, so that which is very cool. So that all happened. Of course, they all died, which is a bummer. I also liked, so we got those all those ancillary characters. I also like that we have a lot more, and we've been calling for this for two seasons, you know, a lot more for Lynn, for our man Cooper to do. Cooper's really got a lot to do now. Like, he had a lot to do this season, but, like, they've really involved him, this whole plot line with him being, you know, being sick, and then all that stuff, and kind of bringing in Charlene, and then bringing in Tom Connelly, and then, you know, putting him on the take, and then now he's, like, has this sort of playing both sides. I think all that's good stuff.
Has a lot of inner turmoil going as well.
Yes. I want to also bring up to you that our long-standing prediction about our girl Charlene. I haven't forgot about that.
Charlene. Oh, no. I wrote it down.
Okay.
I think I wrote something like Charlene's going to kick it.
thank you. I stand by.
Yeah, I stand by that prediction, too.
Charlene's not going to make it.
No.
I stand by that.
Well, she's committed espionage.
Yes. And it was something about, I mean, look, the season's plotted out long, and it seems like episode one of season two was like 3 years ago, but it does. But it's just the same season. We had like a breakup with Super Bowl. And it literally seems like episode one, season two was like in 1998. However, it was in 2000. It was just 2014. But we saw Charlene, and we both were like,
"Oh no, oh, girl!
No, not Charlene!
Sorry, honey, bunny.
Whoever she is,
you ain't gonna make it."
So I fear for Charlene's life in the season.
And
finale.
All those lingering stares at her picture on his desk.
The oh, picture Charlene. On the desk.
Oh,
and she's so damn earnest when she's talking to him.
And, she just wants him to live.
And Cooper's so concerned about her. And Red's like, "You're doing the right thing." Anyway, I don't think Charlene's going to make it.
Nope.
Also, I want to talk about Red. Let's get back to Red. Red and his conversation with Cooper, well, I thought was also great, too.
That was cool.
That was cool. And were you surprised that Cooper went to Red?
I think he's in over his head.
Right.
You know, I think he needs someone who has a little bit more intel, understands this world, because he's a good guy. He's always on the good guy's side. I don't think he really understands the workings of the mind of a bad guy.
Sure.
And Red does, and he knows this world better than anyone.
And then, so what do you think, like, we talked about this, I believe, you know, like, probably about 10 or 12 episodes ago, but how, maybe it was last season, but maybe, we talked about how Red, he is slowly but surely has something on every one of the task force.
Yeah.
And it's like, at first I thought of it as Red has something on all these people, and he's going to manipulate them and use them because he's got them on his palm of his hands. But really, now that I see it now, it's like Red has sort of slowly but surely earned all of their trust, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, him and Aram obviously have a thing going on. Aram trusts him. He trusts Aram. There wasn't a blackmail situation with Aram. That's like something him and Red have. Clearly, him and Navabi have a quid pro quo going on, and
yes.
he can call on her, and they sort of feel like there's something there. He even had this thing with Wrestler, you know, which is sort of like they have a past and Wrestler's trying to get him, but they have this sort of uneasy, like...
And they were stuck in the big box together.
Yes, and even though Wrestler is very much like, "I want you dead, right? I don't trust you." I think Wrestler in his own gruffy way has come around. And then, of course, last but not least, you have Cooper, who initially we thought Red had that, whatever it was.
I forget where it was.
Afghanistan or no, Beirut.
Beirut. Yeah, he had Beirut. Good call.
Yeah, he had Beirut on him. But we thought, like, oh, but now it sort of seems like, you know, Cooper, after all this time, has begun to trust Red, which is my whole thing. This guy for two seasons has helped you nab, I don't know, by my count, 20, I don't know. Like,
we have a blacklister every week, so we're at like 40-something blacklisters.
Like, they got 43 blacklisters in the tank, and yet they're still like, "I don't trust this guy.
I don't trust him."
That doesn't make any sense. So I'm glad, you know. The only person that still doesn't trust this guy is Lizzie and now Tom, but still, which is just annoying. So this is my whole point. I'm glad that they're all sort of coming around. So to see Cooper come to Red and Red sort of be earnest and say, "This is what we need to do," makes sense. And it's good that Cooper recognized that this whole cabal thing is bigger than him and that.
Yeah, he's in deep.
And he's in deep. He's in very deep. So I like to see that. It looks like I may be wrong about Conley. I had a prediction that Conley wasn't all bad.
Yeah, you were.
I might be wrong about
you
that.
You were extremely wrong about that.
That might not be right.
That was a bad call.
Conley's looking pretty bad.
He's not very good.
He's ratcheted up the evil everything, right? He's turned it up, like, to evil from, like, to, like, nice guy, you don't know, to, like, ambiguous, to, like, I'm just stone cold evil.
Yes.
Like, so he's on, like, some Bond villain issue.
I don't know
right
how
now.
Long he's gonna last. You know, he seems very, very, very excited to be in the cabal, part right. of this whole plan, this bigger picture. And he's, you know, he's over eager a little bit.
Right.
Well, I don't know how that's going to bode for him.
We need, there's something that we haven't, something is yet to be revealed yet, because we need, I feel like in the season finale, we need a bigger bad. I mean, we have Strathairn, the director, who's obviously the big, big bad, and he's still pulling the strings.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like there's someone else who has to emerge in the season finale that's going to drive season three. And I don't think it's Tom Conley. So it'll be interesting to see who emerges, whether that's someone from the past or that's someone new. But someone in the season finale has got to emerge, and it's not going to be as, you know what I mean? Like, we had Berland emerged, and mm-hmm. then we had, you know, we always have. Someone has to emerge. I think getting all the answers may not be enough. The only person that I think I'm kind of getting predictions now. The only person who I think who may emerge to drive season three would be the elusive Katrina Nestova.
That's
a prediction.
That's a good prediction. Well, if we're doing a quick little prediction, we'll just skip predictions later.
Okay.
What if if you saw in the previews that Lizzie remembers everything. What if Lizzie remembering everything turns her, like I said before, uh-oh, into the number one blacklister?
Oh, that'd be interesting. That would be interesting.
And he's been trying to avoid this and protect her so she didn't have to be number one on the blacklist.
Oh, that's, I like, God darn it, that's good. Julia, your predictions, I like that too.
And but she's a Russian princess.
Huh? And she's a Russian princess with jewels sewn in the corset.
Diamonds sewn into her corset.
She'll reveal the corset and it'll be full of jewels.
Luther called her princess. Just saying.
And the Romanov fortune will be...
It's not crazy.
All right.
But that's my prediction.
Okay, you're sticking to that crazy Romanov thing, right?
Well, yeah, a little bit. Yes, I kind of like it.
You're so excited.
But I do think that she... I said it before. I think she's going to be the number one blacklister. And I think her remembering everything is going to turn her into the number one blacklister. And right, that's what Red has been trying to avoid the entire time.
Well, that makes sense. I just really...
How's that?
I think that's fantastic. Drop the pin, drop the mic, turn it all off, walk away.
I'm out of here.
I think that's fantastic. And I think that helps solve all of these. I mean, I just want to just get on with it already. Like, let's get on with, like, figuring out what's happening. I'm personally done with all the questions and the this and the back and forth and the red and the father and all the crap. I just want to get on with it in terms of, let's have a show where Lizzie and Red are working together and Emmett's team to fight bad guys, and we're doing it that way. And, you know, I'm okay. All this business about, you know, Red and Lizzie and enough already. Like, season one was good for that. Half season two, okay. I don't want to do it again in season three. I don't want to have another, like, Lizzie doesn't trust Red, like, no, season three. I'm over it.
I'm tired of that.
All right. So.
It was nice to see her stand up for herself, though.
Yes.
Possibly the worst timing possible.
Of course. That's, you know, Lizzie.
On the verge of the next Cold War, but, you know, she needs to know.
Hey.
I'm going to figure it out. I understand that what you're saying is very important. Uh-oh, you know, saving the world.
Yeah.
But
you need to hear me.
But what I'm saying is important, too.
Sorry. I also like, we can get our Lizzie jabs in. I also loved where they're in the lab with, Ginger Kimberly, also another great character. I forgot to mention her.
And that hot little number.
Hot little number.
Hot little genius.
Stashed away. Hot little genius.
Kissy Kissy,
who he named her lipstick, Fire in the Hole. no questions here. I don't know why he would name it that, but while she's doing her business and finding out about the WID,
yes,
she's like very giddily, like leaning over the thing, like, I know who my mom is. I'm working on it. You can't stop me. I'm Lizzie. I'm like, really? Is there more, maybe a little more serious? You're not going to stop me, Red. I've got an informant. He's going to help me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That.
So, yeah. Anyway, that part was, that was a little funny.
A little funny.
We're jumping all over the place here, but I do want to touch on Ginger. I liked her.
Yeah, she was fun.
She was fun. She kind of reminded me of Isles on Rizzoli and Isles.
I don't watch that show.
All right. Or Rizzoli. I don't know. I forget which one's which.
I don't know.
I think Isles is the doctor, and that's kind of her shtick too. Like, I'm a doctor, but I'm hot, and I like shoes, and I'm smart. It was kind of like that's Isles. Rizzoli's like, I'm a tough cop. I'm from Jersey, but I'm kind of hot too. We're Rizzoli and Isles.
No idea what you're talking about right now. Right.
Anyway, so she was very. I liked her. I liked the idea of her. I hope she comes back. She's, and again, the more of these characters from Red's world we can cram into an episode, the better off where we are, I think, in life, in the blacklist. Like, when they cram these characters in, every time I get the feeling like, I want to see a web series about that guy, I want to see a web series about that girl, then I feel like we're in a good space.
Yeah. Okay. I'm with you.
So, looping all the way back around, we do have this guy named Tom Jacob Phelps Keen, who is really cracking. He's coming back to, like, he's landing somewhere between, like, the Dawson's Creek Joe Flippo sensitive guy in the glasses and the sensible sweaters. He's and the tough super spy. He's like landing somewhere between there now.
Yeah,
like he's coming at Lizzie. Like he's
super flirty.
Super flirty.
Cute little dates.
Still got the SS tattoo.
Although he covered it with a Band-Aid.
That's
in his last scene.
It's a good look.
After she called him out, the neo-Nazi look is not like working for me.
He's like, shoot.
You.
Well, there's that.
Forgot SS about that. Let's cover that up.
But
it's about time. Let's just. Why are we walking through the streets with that?
Yeah, it's true.
What are you doing?
But he did. He did. Like he came with a serious, like a flirt game. And when a flirt game, he came with the full game. Like, let's get on a boat and get naked and drive around.
Okay.
Like, I mean, he's not talking to you. Okay. I know you're on that boat.
Okay.
But Lizzie is still not buying it. I thought that was a very effective, cool scene. I did like it.
He's wearing her down, though.
Yeah. I'm really liking them. Actually, I'm sort of. I mean, like. I've been hard on the whole Tom and Lizzie thing, and now I'm already 100% team Tom.
Team Tom.
I do like this. It seems to be cool. I'm rooting for them, and I like Lizzie sort of coming around and the whole breakfast thing. And the breakfast. It didn't seem sappy or out of place. Did you buy any of that stuff? Do you like that stuff, or is it too corny?
Well, it's fine. I like it. Anything with Tom, I like. But. Sure. She's really stupid if she's falling for it again. I'm not saying he's on a mission. I don't know. I know that there's a lot of word out there that people are talking about that maybe he's playing her again.
The internet's like, but Tom's like, playing her again.
It's very possible. I don't really have any opinions on that quite yet. But, like, how dumb can you get?
Love is dumb.
She refuses to put all her trust in Red. She's always back and forth. Yet here she is, falling head over heels. Sappy sapster.
Yeah.
For Tom.
I know. Well, she's saying all the right things.
I guess she just needs someone who really understands where she's coming from.
Yes. By the way.
How is she going to date? You know?
I don't know.
Who is she going to date?
Well, by the way, I will say this. This is a very non-journalistic take. But did I call myself a journalist? Who the hell am I? Lizzie Keene, pretty hot this episode. I thought she looked good. I thought she looked good. Her hair's grown out, and she's a very attractive woman. And I mean, I know Megan Boone's attractive, but I thought Lizzie Keene looked good this episode, the entire episode. I like the ponytail, I like the confident sort of pantsuit ensemble. I felt good about it. I don't know. I know you're out on it.
I'm glad you liked what you saw.
I like it. All right. Anyway, so yeah, so Tom, and then later, Tom. Makes the phone call, very sweet, like, this is so rom-com, like, it felt like straight out of, like, a J.J. Abrams Felicity out of, like, 1990-something. Like, he calls up, I was waiting for the music to start. He's like, this is Jacob Phelps.
Oh, I want to start over.
Like, that phone call was so, like, I don't know, almost Nicholas Sparks-esque. But it was sweet. And then he went to the dinner on M Street, and of course he got stood up. Poor guy.
At least he has his Mustang.
Thank
God for
lots
that.
Lots of Mustang commercials. So, all right. So, all that being said, this was fun. I feel like we're in the penultimate delivered. We didn't talk much about Red, but Red was good. Red was good in every scene.
It was nice to see Red not being the one who's five steps ahead for once.
Right.
You know, he's piecing everything together as we're going along. And that's rare that we see him out of control that way.
Exactly. But that's cool to see him sort of sleuthing, right?
Yes.
It's cool to see him. It reminded me of an old school, like 70s, detective show, because Red is like figuring this thing out. Like he's actually solving this. And it's good to see his mind work, you know, and solving this crime. And following him along the way as he solves this was actually kind of fun until he got it. Like, oh my God, Lizzie, it's you. And so I think that was kind of a fun journey as opposed to being like, I knew this all along, you know, which is fun too. So here we are. We're at the end. Lizzie's on the run. We've got ourselves a season finale coming.
Yes, we do.
Let's get to some real predictions now. No, that's serious. It's a real prediction.
Buzz TV predictions.
Give me. I know you gave your.
I blew my wad already
with a good prediction. But
that is my major prediction.
Give me some more juice for season finale.
I also, we also said that we think Charlene ain't gonna make it.
Not gonna make it.
I'm a little wary of Wrestler. There were a couple looks he gave, and I know that when
he's a traitor.
The guy who they cut out his tongue last episode.
Yeah.
What was his name? Jasper.
Maybe.
Yes. When Samar was, when he believed that Samar was there to save him from Red. Do we remember this?
Yes.
He said, I knew there was somebody on the inside. I just didn't know it was you.
Right.
So there's that implies that there's somebody on the inside.
Well, I think that someone on the inside is Conley. I mean, so if someone on the inside is well, look.
Could be. I don't know. Wrestlers seemed a little strange to me this episode.
Well, the someone on the inside we know is actually Cooper. Cooper's the guy on the inside.
I don't know.
Maybe there's someone else on the inside.
Maybe. I don't know.
Wrestler's such a Boy Scout. I can't see him like, I had to do it. I don't know. That would be such a, that would be so off-brand, but maybe. I don't know.
Well, I gave you my big prediction.
Okay. Does Wrestler has jewels sewn in his corset?
They all do.
Okay. The only prediction I have, aside from, I think that the, I just want to go on record by saying, I think the big person that's going to propel us into season three, I think, Lizzie's mom, Super Spy, will show up.
Yeah.
And I think whatever that casting is will be cool. And I think she'll show up and propel us into season three, or we'll see her, we'll find out she's alive, and that'll give them time to cast someone cool for season three.
Yeah.
There's that. I also think that, I don't know what Tom's motives are, but like, Tom is clearly, Lizzie's on the run, so she can only turn to one person.
Yeah, she'll turn to Tom.
Tom Keene. And Tom Keene and Lizzie on the run together, like fighting bad guys, Mr. Make Mrs. Smith. Like, you know, I know Tom's going to be like, just come on the boat and get naked. I can't. I've got to find my mom. Shoot, shoot, shoot. Bang, bang, bang. We'll see. I don't know. It should be fun. But she can't discover everything on the boat, so she's got to do it here.
Yeah, she's got to do it here.
That's all I got. We'll find out next week, and I will try to get everyone here next week. Because I think that Flippo's going to be wearing a blouse next week. Because I really feel like we're going to find out definitively, is my other prediction, that Lizzie is not, that Red is not Lizzie's father.
All right, I'm with you. I'm sticking with it.
And I don't care where Joe Flippo is. I don't care what voiceover he's doing. I don't care what he's doing. I'm dragging his ass in here in a yellow blouse. And I'll give it
an F. You hear that, Flip?
Flip, I'm coming for you, Flippo.
Hear that, buddy?
Because we're going to find out next week. So be afraid. That's all we got.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
I think we somehow got through that.
We did.
That was a thick episode.
Yeah. And we did fun. In a taut 40 minutes, 35 minutes. Thank you so much for joining us for the Blacklist After Buzz After Show. Thank you for watching us on YouTube and downloading us on iTunes. And thanks for all your comments. We will give you all mega, mega live shout outs next week for our finale, because we appreciate you very much. Julia, where can the kids find you?
Find me on Instagram and on Twitter with my name, Julia Carely, JULIACEARLEY.
Okay, you find me on
Follow me.
Twitter and Instagram at Joe K. Braswell. If I'm here doing the season finale of Bates Motel and the season finale of Mad Men and the season finale of Blacklist, as you know. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you very soon. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.